live from the Counterpunch Media Mobile Studios in Grand Blanc, Michigan. It's time for real lives, real families, real fitness. It's time for Derek Noel Fitness.
What is going on, everyone? Derek here for another episode of Derek Noel Fitness Live. I'm just pulling up the live feed right now. My phone just accidentally kicked me out of it, so we're going to get right back in before we get going onto this awesome show today. We're going to have a good time. We're actually talking about basically how my mind has shifted when it comes to coaching things based on preconceived notions that I had, because there are a lot of things that I made assumptions for before I was a coach that I realized working with as many people as I have were completely wrong. Or if not wrong, just very not right, which is typically how I like to have it go, is I'm not wrong, I'm just not entirely right, because you do learn new things all the time. So, looks like the video's a little bit choppy, but that's all right. We still have the audio rolling. Let me know if the audio gets choppy or anything like that. I would really appreciate it. We just had an update on the computer, so I'm putting my phone down for a second. And like I was saying, with my self-coaching, I've been coaching people for right around 3 years now. It will be 3 years in January, actually. And I've learned a lot when it comes to where people are at, which, by the way, is all over the place. People are all over the place. But also where it comes from in my head, how I needed to approach coaching people, because I'm a very, very different coach now than I was back then, for most people. There are a few people who still get the Derek from 3 years ago because they can handle it, but I'm going to be completely honest, not many people could, and if I stuck on that path, I would not still be where I am today, which is saying something, because I really enjoy where I am, and I'm really, really lucky to have the job that I have, being able to help people for a living, which is awesome. So if there's anything that I say that resonates with you, let's drop it into the comments. And oh, before I forget, I want to start trying to get my YouTube numbers up a little bit. So if you could go into the link or the post that I made on Facebook a little earlier and give that video either a view or subscribe to that YouTube channel, which is Counterpunch Media. My videos are the only things going out on there right now, so it's really easy to find the videos from YouTube. And from what I understand is, while these shows are live, the video quality is actually a little bit better on YouTube too. So if you want to see this beautiful face in all of its glory, go right onto the YouTube, and that's a joke, by the way, and go subscribe on there. That way you get the notifications. Turn on the post notifications on Facebook if you want. Really good ways to make sure you're getting these videos pop up on your feed, which for some reason I'm not even getting them on my own, so I gotta go figure out what's going on with that later. But yeah, so there were a lot of different things that I thought coming into it as someone who had lost 80 pounds, by the way, for those who don't know. Before I became a coach, I was 240 something pounds, and you can't really tell with the cameras, or to be completely honest, we got a green screen here, so height can't really even be told from that. I'm 5'8", so I'm a little bit on the shorter side for a guy, and I was 240 pounds, so I was basically a roly-poly. I basically did all the research myself because I really wanted to lose that weight, and I lost it. I ended up getting down to my very, very lowest point was 155. Right now I'm hanging out about 180. Very different, lots of muscle mass put on. I was at 155 in, I want to say, 2011 or 2012. So I've had 9 years of moving through and just becoming more healthy in general. And that's going to come back later, by the way, with one of the things. So I'm going to start out with number one. I thought nutrition was really easy. When I was at Michigan Tech, which is where I put on all of my weight because that unlimited meal plan was going on, I was just shoveling my face in. I was having 2 milkshakes a day. I was eating pizza, or sometimes they made this, like they would take the thin crust pizza dough and they put cinnamon sugar and frosting on it, and I would smash that. Tater tot casserole, which is basically tater tots with sausage gravy all thrown in. I was eating everything I could because it was an unlimited meal plan. I could just eat to my heart's content, and I put on about 70 something pounds in a year and a half. So that freshman 15 for most people is like a freshman 60 for me. To be honest, I didn't even realize that that had happened. I came back from Michigan Tech. I saw a couple pictures, and I kind of realized, oh, hey, I need to do something about this. Luckily, I worked out in high school, so I kind of had that going. I literally went back to my high school, talked with the weight room supervisor. He had no problem with me coming back in because he's the one who actually taught me how to work out, and I was able to go through it. When I was losing my weight, all I really did was I just started eating less. I still wasn't tracking very much until I got down to about 180 pounds, and then to lose that last 25 originally, I started counting everything that I was eating, making sure. I actually did a low-carb diet. I wasn't eating any pastas or anything like that. I was driving my mom insane. Not that I don't now, but she was preparing foods, and I would only be eating certain parts of it, or I just wouldn't be eating the carbohydrates parts of it. And I'm not going to lie, guys. If she made spaghetti, I was breaking my own rules, and I was eating that spaghetti. So it goes to show you can still eat those things. But what I found out afterwards, because I thought nutrition was easy, oh, hey, I'm just going to eat a little bit less and I'm exercising more, this weight's going to come right off. Nutrition's not easy for a lot of people. A lot of people actually have a really hard time staying on it. I know a lot of people who will go and they'll work out sometimes for 2 hours and then their nutrition is just nowhere near where it needs to be. So they end up either staying the same or they end up starting to gain weight. And then they get frustrated. Nutrition is not easy. I found that out. I thought when I first started coaching, I was like, oh yeah, all you have to do is this. Yeah, it's fine. Just do this. A lot of people know what they need to do. It's the matter of getting them to actually do it. And that's one of the things that once I realized, I was able to help a lot more people try and get through this. And if that resonates with you, sometimes you just got to do the things, whatever it is. You get out of your own head. I actually just told someone a couple weeks ago that inner voice needs to mind its own dang business. So just butt it out. I know sometimes that inner voice can really get demoralizing and really get under your own skin. Just don't let it happen. Stick with the nutrition. Stick with the plan as best as you can. If you're 80 or 90% on most plans, you'll be fine. If you can't maintain an 80 or 90%, it's not the right nutrition plan for you. This, by the way, is why keto doesn't work for some people. Does it work for some? Yes, because then they decide that they can start eating all this bacon and stuff like that. But I guarantee you they could lose more weight if they just went into a simple calorie deficit instead of trying to cut out all carbs. Science-wise, your body, if you're eating carbs, you're naturally going to be just a couple pounds heavier from water weight. That's basically it, guys. You have glycogen and water. If you are on keto, you don't have any glycogen, and you're not holding underwater because you don't have those carbohydrates. So if you just don't eat carbs for a few days, you could drop at least 3 or 4 pounds for most people just from losing that water weight. That's not losing fat. That's not helping you or hurting you. Well, it depends, actually. Dehydration will hurt you. That is bad. Do not be dehydrated. Drink that water. But assuming you're drinking plenty of water and you just lower your carb count, you're just going to lose a couple pounds of body fat. So if you're looking for that big win, like, oh, aha, I lost 5 pounds in a week, congratulations. Everyone can do that if they eat less carbs. It's not fat. It'll come right back as soon as you eat your pasta or your cookies or anything like that. That's not what nutrition is about. It's not losing the 5 pounds of water. It's about losing the 5 pounds of fat and feeling better in your clothes. Let's move on, though. Number two was, oh yeah, everybody meal preps. That's really easy. People literally don't have time to prep meals. There is something called privilege, and it is definitely running rampant in the fitness industry right now. A lot of online coaches or a lot of coaches will assume that you have time to set aside, besides your kids, besides your two part-time jobs that you have as a single mother or father, to sit aside and spend and cook your meals. Can you make it a priority? Yeah. Do you have other things going on if that is you as a person? Yeah. Bad decisions are made out of lack of preparation. So be prepared. Make a plan for those days that you cannot meal prep. Oh, hey, I have this meal, which I know is pretty decent, and I'm going to go out and have that. Oh, we're having a big work party and we're going to a restaurant. I'm going to take a look ahead at the menu and figure out what I can have and maybe adjust everything around the rest of the day. That also counts as meal prepping because you're preparing what you're going to do for your meals. be prepared for the things that that are going to happen during your day, and having that plan will help you so much. So really, really focus on that. Number three, which might ruffle a few feathers, is that I assume that people in general really liked learning things. They like learning new things. They enjoyed learning about what their body could actually do, because I know that I did. I enjoyed learning, like, oh, hey, my back can look like that. By the way, my Instagram picture, or I think the Derek Noel Fitness picture of my back. Yeah, still super proud of that photo, by the way. I assume that people liked learning things. And after working with people for almost 3 years, I can tell you, even if you like learning things, a lot of the people around you do not like to learn. People are very set in their ways. They hate change. Try and teach someone who cannot do a proper push-up to save their life to do a proper push-up, especially if they've been doing it that way for 30 years. And it's not a muscle memory thing. It's literally people have an easier time doing things the wrong way, so they keep doing it the wrong way because it's easier and they want to take that easier way out. What I did learn was that if I explain in terms of, hey, you're going to get injured if you do it this way, which honestly, in most cases, you won't, unless it's like some catastrophic thing, or if we're working with things overhead, then I'm a lot more leery towards knees and shoulders. But if we're doing something like sit-ups, I'm not worried about you like pulling something while you're doing a sit-up, for example. But if I explain why we do things a certain way and what we're avoiding by these things, because honestly, fear is a really good tool to use, that form of education really helps people, because then they'll start actually going, oh, well, I don't want my knee to be hurting 6 months down the line because I'm not listening to him when he says, don't start a squat with my knees, shift those hips back. But if I go, hey, like, you're squatting wrong, make sure you push your butt back first, I'm just going to get a look like, oh, I don't, whatever. And then I'm going to see like those Michael Jackson squats where people are up on their toes all the time. Then all of a sudden their knees hurt. Along with exercise, I also kind of assumed that people enjoyed exercising if they were doing it. That's a big negative for a lot of people. Not a lot of people. Some people legitimately love exercising. Other people don't. And for the people who don't, I just say that they really haven't found a form of exercise that they've truly fallen in love with. I can't stand running. If running was the thing that I learned how to do, I would never do it. I really don't ever do it. I'll do it on a rare occasion because I know I need to, which is a whole other thing. But if running was the only form of exercise that I know, yeah, I would hate exercise. But the fact that I get to pick up heavy things, deadlifting is probably my favorite exercise. The fact that I get to do that every week and I put it on a Friday, so I look forward to my Fridays, that's for me. A lot of people don't like to sweat because they feel gross. They don't sweat, they glisten. Anytime they start to feel their muscles get exerted, they think that their muscle is going to like rip off of their body and it's going to be a huge thing and they're going to get injured because their muscles are getting a little tight because they're working. I know I'm kind of going a little quickly talking, but my job, I've found out, is how can I get people to enjoy this experience that's going to make their entire life better? If I could help them make their lives better, then we're doing pretty well. So, I'm kind of tearing through this list. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to look in the feed because I see we do have some comments, but I will be right back.
You're listening to Derek Noel Fitness here on IPMNation.com/counterpunch. He'll bring the smarts. Now the sweat, well, that's up to you.
And we are back. All right, so I made a comment about my approach to coaching shifting for most people that I work with. And Heidi made a comment going, oh boy, what can we handle? Heidi, talk to Rachel about that when you get a chance to. I know you also love exercising. Ariel, I know you love exercising. You are crushing it too. As a fellow person who loves picking up heavy things, I appreciate it. And thanks for tuning in, guys. I really appreciate that too. If you can, we're halfway through, give this a share on your timeline. That would be awesome. Get more people, get some friends watching. It's going to be a good time. Moving along, because I'm rambling about these things a lot more than I realized I was going to. And actually, at the end, I'll hold up the whiteboard so you could see what I'm actually working with and how much I'm actually just going through the motions. Not really going through the motions, but how much I can actually talk about when it comes to these things. And honestly, I could have one show based off of each of these. So I'm really bullet pointing this, which I feel like is kind of cool. So that way I don't have to go super deep and I can talk about a bunch of different things. The fifth thing that I thought everyone understood was that results take time. I didn't go from 240 pounds to 155 pounds in 3 months. That would be insane. And I would probably just binge and go right back. And I would probably would have been starving myself. Results take time. And a lot of people don't really get that because instant gratification runs wild everywhere we are now. In the society where we can go on our phone and look something up when we don't know it, or we can order food from our phone instead of going out to McDonald's to get it, we can order McDonald's from our phone and then just basically have someone deliver it to us. These things of instant gratification and making our lives easier really help drive this whole force behind, oh yeah, I'm gonna lose 20 pounds in 2 weeks, it'll be fine. That's perfect, let's do this. Results take time, especially sustainable results. If you binge up and you binge eat and then you try and binge lose your weight, guess what? You're gonna start binge eating again, you're gonna binge lose weight, and it's gonna be a constant cycle going way up and down. I actually just had a conversation with a client a couple weeks ago, I believe it was 2 weekends ago, that she had done that 8 times in her life. She had gone up, realized that she went up too high, crashed back down in her weight, going up and down and up and down. And she was getting really frustrated because she's literally never been able to maintain a weight before in her life. She's either been gaining massive amounts of weight or losing massive amounts of weight. So I started working with her and I went, hey, how about instead of having these giant swings, let's just adjust the small things. They're gonna have the biggest results. So let's cut back to get it from going here from way up, way low, to being like a little up, a little low, because that's where maintenance truly is. It's a nice little wave. Nice gentle wave is what we're looking for. Gentle ups, gentle downs. That's maintenance. Then if we want to go into the weight loss, it's going to be gentle up and gentle down with a bigger trend towards the down. So over time, you have a nice block. Actually, I just started logging my weight. I didn't post them on Instagram at all last week, but the week before when I got back from my vacation, I started. And I'm using this because I'm going to post at the end of 2 months. I'm going to have 2 months of data of me going up and down. I'm going to post that as a infographic so that everyone can see it's not what the day-to-day says. It's what the long-term picture is. Because I can be up, let's say I wake up and I'm at 182.4. I was there for 5 days last week, or 2 weeks ago now. I was at 182.4 for that much time. If I peed after I weighed myself, I would have been at 181.9. And I actually tested that, by the way. I lost a half a pound just by peeing in the morning. Those day-to-day fluctuations, it doesn't matter. If you have to pee and you weigh yourself, your number's gonna be up. If you have to go the other way, it's still a thing. Like, you'll lose a good pound or two just by doing those things. So don't let those little half a pound or pound fluctuations, maybe even a pound and a half, get to you, because they don't matter in the long term. That's just fluids moving through your body. That's it. Let's actually tie this into number 6. People have no problem weighing themselves. I weighed myself religiously every single day, and it was just data to me. Like I said, I'm doing this. I'm posting it as a chart in a couple months to be able to show what I'm talking about. Because public goal, my goal is to get back down to 170 at least. So I want to be in a more healthier weight. I perform better at 170 than I do at 180. I feel just a little bit stronger now than I did then, or than I did at 170, but in terms of performance and body weight exercises. Push-ups get a lot harder when you're 10 pounds heavier, by the way. People hate weighing themselves. I didn't realize how bad it was until I started coaching people. They get really upset if they see these 1 to 2 pound fluctuations, and honestly, it kind of drives me nuts still, because I understand that those day-to-day fluctuations don't matter, but a lot of people do, and a lot of people tie their self-worth and what they are to a scale instead of what they're actually doing. So I know a couple people who don't care if their clothes get looser, if they are getting more defined. I hate the word toned. You don't tone up, you just lose body fat. If you become more defined, you're losing body fat. They don't care if that's happening. If that scale is the same, that's the devil, and that needs to die. Or that just means, hey, we're putting on some muscle, that's good. That means you're actually gonna be burning more calories in the long term, and it's gonna get easier to drop the scale number down later. So just try and get there. But again, if people have a problem weighing themselves, especially consistently. By the way, full disclosure, I really think that people should be weighing themselves every day, because if they see the day-to-day, then it becomes more data, and it becomes less the emotional attachment, especially once you weigh yourself before and after you go to the bathroom to see what changes that are, because then you could go, oh, yeah, I guess I really didn't have to pee, so I weighed myself and I was here. Or, oh man, I had to pee so bad, but I really just need to weigh myself. These things all matter. So keep that in mind when we're getting through these things. Should you weigh yourself? Yeah. Should you weigh yourself every day? In most cases, yes. If there's something else going on, let's say mentally or physiologically, maybe not the best plan. Or if you're trying to gain weight, I also don't recommend weighing yourself every day, because especially if you've been in an extended weight loss phase, you start stepping on the scale and you start seeing the numbers go up, or you see it stall out. Even though you might know that it's nothing to worry about, it can be very mentally taxing or emotionally draining seeing those things, because you were just spent so much time striving for those lower things. So then I would start easing back into it, instead of just going from every day to never. I would go from like every day to like 3 days a week to like maybe 1 day a week to once every couple weeks if you're trying to gain weight. If you're trying to lose weight though, you want to see that trend. If you only weigh yourself once a month and all of a sudden the scale was up 10 pounds, we could have caught that early on, like say a couple days or a week in, and stopped you from gaining those 10 pounds. So keep an eye on it. Just treat it as data. Try and figure out what you have to do individually to remove that emotional attachment from the scale. Number 7, I assume that everyone just ate real food all the time and didn't eat things that were super processed and stuff like that. Now, here's the thing. Is it good to eat all real food? Yes. Do I recommend eating all real food? Yes. Does that mean that I don't eat processed food? No. If I'm in a pinch, then I'm going to go buy myself a Quest bar, which, by the way, is a processed food. And basically, all protein bars are glorified candy bars. Just look at the ones covered in chocolate and tell me that's not a candy bar. Just saying. Those processed foods, and they're a lot cheaper sometimes too. So if you're in a pinch money-wise, then maybe you need to buy some of those more processed foods. But there's always a way to get around the whole meal prep thing. And I'm going to kind of tie these two together. People also think that supplements fix everything. If they aren't getting protein, that they should just automatically drink 3 protein shakes a day. Can you do that? Yes. Again, should you? No. But I'll use a nurse for an example. Sometimes a protein shake and like a banana is the only thing that you get. So let's make one hell of a protein shake to go with that banana. Make sure you're sustaining yourself. For the normal person though, just eat real food. There's a whole different slew of things I could talk about with this. Let's go back into this whole meal prep thing. That was number 2, by the way. I'm on number 7 right now. We're tying 2 and 7 together now. Real food is the way to go for everybody. And I thought everybody meal preps, but meal prep can be hard. Big trick here. If that is you to a T, go out to the store, go into the frozen food section, and buy yourself a bag of diced cooked chicken breasts. That way all you have to do is microwave it. Then you have your protein. It's chicken. Is it frozen? Yeah. Are there probably a couple preservatives in there? Probably. Is it still going to get you your protein count? Yes. Or you don't have the money to go down to Whole Foods to buy $400 worth of groceries a week. I don't have $400 to spend on groceries a week. I don't expect everyone else to go do that. Or eating only organic, which, by the way, is a lot more expensive. These things, again, it's going back into that privilege that, oh yeah, well, if you want to be healthy, you have to do these certain things. No, if you want to be healthy, you just stop eating like junk all the time. Don't restrict yourself completely, because that means that you're just going to binge later. And get these things that are going to help you meal prep. Buy the frozen chicken breasts that are already cooked. Buy the frozen vegetables that all you have to do are throw them in the microwave for a minute and a half, and then all of a sudden you have veggies, instead of having to blanch and chuck and then like saute green beans and all of those and all of that stuff. Buy the things that are going to make it easy for you, that you still get those things in. In the end, those frozen vegetables, my favorite, by the way, is getting like a Normandy blend, or just buying a giant bag of green beans and then just cooking them as you need them, is going to be the best way to go if you're in a pinch, if you're on time or monetarily, because that stuff is cheaper and it's going to be able to help you out long term. Number 8, doctors are used for health. People enjoy going to the doctor to fix things. Number 1, no one actually enjoys going to the doctor, but a lot of people just flat out refuse to or avoid it. Whether it's because they're scared of like what the bills are going to be, which I get, like $1,000 to get an IV is ridiculous, but doctors really should be used more often than they are. The unfortunate thing is we have holistic doctors, which, by the way, or like naturopath doctors, which, by the way, are not real doctors. They do not have an MD. They did not go to medical school, and they are not medically trained. They are the cure-all for the people who didn't want to go to the doctors because their own doctors weren't listening to them. If your primary care physician is not listening to your problems, if you have things going on in your body that they kind of write off or they assume is just one thing, find a new doctor. I don't care if they've been your family doctor for 15 years. If they're not listening to you, if they're not helping you solve the problem that you have physically, whatever ails you, their job is literally to help you with that stuff. So find someone who will. I can't tell you how many people come to me and go, hey, this is really bugging me. And they expect me to, like, I don't know, diagnose it or whatever it is. I'll be the first to divulge, I am not a medically trained doctor. I am not an expert in that. I am not a physical therapist. I can give a general guess. I can give an estimated guess of what it is based on prior experience dealing with other people who have had those things or what I found has worked for myself. But again, they're just guidelines. If you want the expert opinion, please go to the experts on people who are supposed to be healing you. Don't go to Instagram MDs that are selling like MLM things all the time because that's what they think nutrition is. By the way, I think most doctors get like 19 hours of contact time within like nutrition materials. That's not enough. That's like basic nutrition. So see a dietitian if you really want to deep dive in nutrition. Technically, they're the only people allowed to prescribe or write specific meal plans, which is why I work with macro things, because I can give you general guidelines of what you could eat, but I shouldn't be the end all be all for what are you eating, period. And that's just full disclosure again. Number nine, by the way, if you are someone who's come to me and asked me, please, you have probably heard me go, hey, did you go get that checked out by a doctor or a physical therapist? And then when you give me the no, please do. They're the ones who can fix it, not me. I can give you recommendations for how to alleviate it, maybe a little bit temporarily, but they're going to be the ones who can help you fix it. Number nine, willpower is the same for everyone. When I get my head set on something, I am determined to do it. I will just go through whatever wall I need to go through in order to make sure that I get what I want when it comes to that. Whether it is, especially when it comes to weight loss, this is willpower weight loss wise, by the way. If I want to lose weight, I'm going to lose that weight. If I want to gain weight, I'm going to gain weight. If I'm going to get stronger, I'm getting stronger. If I'm going to get better at cardio, I'm getting better at cardio. Remember how I said I hate running? I still force myself to do it. That's willpower. I'm making myself do something that I don't really want to do because I know that it's going to better myself. Making the changes. Oh, nutrition is easy? Yeah, that's because my willpower is there. I'm going to make my nutrition happen. So the big thing is, a lot of people, and I used to think that they were just weak-minded, to be completely honest. It's not that they're weak-minded. Their focus is just on so many other things they can't focus, and they can't allow themselves to have that full-on willpower to make whatever it is or make whatever that plan is happen for them, which means, guess what? It's not the right plan for them. So working with a coach to figure out what plan it is, it doesn't mean that you're weak-minded because you can't do something or you find something really difficult mentally. It just means that it's not the right thing for you. Again, this is honestly one of the biggest mindset shifts that I've had as a coach from coming in. And if any of you are at Fit Body Bootcamp, you know of a former coach who is currently most of these things. But it just happens. It comes from growth. When you grow, you're going to understand these things. And when you can understand things, you're going to be more able to attack that issue in the future. That's really all I have. Let's go jump into these last comments. Hey, good old mystery producer man dropped the YouTube channel. If you could go click that link in the YouTube, or to subscribe to the YouTube channel and give that video a thumbs up, I would really appreciate it. Rotisserie Chicken, Heidi says, I know that's talking about the real food's the way to go in meal prep. Rotisserie chickens are a godsend. They're already fully cooked. They're already warm. Just stopping by a Meijer or a Kroger and getting that rotisserie chicken, and it'll give you meals for a couple days, and then you're done, which is really cool. This has been a very fun episode. I enjoyed talking about these things. Again, I could probably talk about these each for a long time, but I got to wrap this up because I am definitely over time. check me out. Share this video with a friend on Facebook, and have a great night, everyone.